Squeaky door, squeaky door, squeaky door, squeaky door.
Are we for real ready now?
Have we not already started? This is all staying in.
Hi, dads.
Hi, hey guys. Dads.
What's hey, up, dads. Boys?
Guys, this is Cade and Sean and Aaron, and we are the Hi Dads, and this is our fifth episode, and we're going to be talking about the Saz Rock. We are three dads living in different places around the country. We went to college together, and we get together and talk about cocktails. We like to do a little bit of history about them. I mean, we read the internet a little bit. And then we make the drinks. We talk about them. We talk about life and family. We're not bartenders. We're not historians. Yeah, we're not really good at anything, but we like to talk about stuff. And So tonight's the Saz Rock, and I think we've all had one already, right?
Yeah.
Indeed.
We're going to talk about the Saz Rock. If you would like to join in and make one with us, you will need rye whiskey, or some people think you could use cognac or brandy, but that's up to you. I'll get into that in the story on which one is the original, which one to go with. But typically today, rye whiskey. You will also need some sort of simple syrup. I use Demerara, homemade Demerara syrup, or you could get a Demerara sugar cube. You will need Pecho's bitters. You can also have Angostura bitters if you like, and you will need a lemon and a lemon peeler. You will also need some sort of anisette, whether that's Herb Saint or some sort of Pernod or absinthe is up to you. So gather your ingredients and let's listen on.
How was your day?
It was great.
Good. Aaron, how was your day?
I'll tell you, it was Saturday.
Nice.
I had brunch with my wife and eldest son, and I had a fried pork chop biscuit sandwich.
Nice.
So it was this biscuit that they sliced in half, swiped with butter, griddled the biscuit. They fried a pork chop cutlet, put it on top. Then they made a country gravy with Gruyere cheese in it. And then they topped it with a fried egg and then put the biscuit top on top of it. And I ate the heck out of it.
Well, if people didn't know where Sean was living before, now everyone is sure that he lives in Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah. Famous for their fried pork chop and gravy biscuits.
And their Boston biscuits.
We'll just wait till he breaks out the Saz Rock story, though.
Extra dry.
Nice.
What'd you do today, Kate?
I my wife had a girls' night, and so I had the kids, and we woke up and had a big breakfast and had fun, and then I was going to take them to swim lessons. I'm not going to say why I didn't. I had a tummy ache.
Now the people want to know.
Okay, well, I had some gastrointestinal distress. And I don't know.
Lead us in and not tell us about your diarrhea.
Man, we were. I woke
this guy's trying
early
to fancy up diarrhea.
Yep. Okay. There you go. Yep. So I woke up early though. I was like 6 a.m. because again, it was just
when you're sliding into first and you think you feel a burst.
But I woke up super early. I was texting you guys. We were wordling it, you know, 6 a.m.
Yeah, you were texting. And, we were trying to sleep.
I got showered, dressed.
I
ate my breakfast. I relaxed. And then I got the kids up. We had a big breakfast together. And then I got them all dressed to go. And then I was like, oh, excuse me, girls. Dad's just going to step to the toilet for a minute. And 45 minutes later, I was like, we are not going to make it, girls. We're going to be really late, or we're just not going to go to swim lessons, and I'm not going to bother your mom with this because it's her time to have fun. She's going shopping. It's going to be a good day for her. So
baby, baby, I need you to come home from girls weekend right now. I have diarrhea. That would have gone over great.
I didn't bother her with it.
I was walking down the hall. I felt something fall.
But after that, we sat around, we played, we colored with crayons and markers, and had a nice day. It was it warmed up a little bit, and read some books, and here I am with you guys.
Oh, lovely. Well, you know what? It sounds like your diarrhea led you down a very pleasant path.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, yeah. So I'm going to answer some.
The universe just wanted you light on your feet today, bud. That's all.
Smooth segue, Sean.
The universe was like, this guy's about to have a testicle ache. We need to make mm-hmm. him poop. Mm-hmm. All right. That's a callback to a previous episode. I'm going to answer some questions, some very controversial questions. Was the original Sazerac made with cognac or brandy? What came first, the old fashioned or the Sazerac? Did the Sazerac invent the cocktail? Can you drink a Sazerac on the rocks? It's got rock in the name, mind you. The answer to that last one is no, you're not supposed to. Sorry, Kate.
Who's asking these questions, Sean? And who is so emphatic about them?
Why did we let the Cajun do the Sazerac episode? He's such a homer.
Greatest cocktail ever! Okay, all right. Look, it's not going to be that bad, all right? Cade, you asked if you should make a drink.
Yes.
You should make a drink. Because deal. I'm about to take y'all on a wild ride. It's the 17th century, 1630s. The Sazerac family bought their land for a vineyard and distillery to make eau de vie, which literally means water of life in French. But the French, they just mean it as a distilled spirit. So many countries make eau de vie. It can be made with distilled fruit or other grape spirits. Schnapps in Germany is a eau de vie. And also brandy is eau de vie de vin in French. So is it brandy? Is it cognac? We still don't know. They're in the cognac region. Who knows? So for the next 100 to 200 years, the Sazerac family continues to make a name for themselves. Louis Sazerac even built cannons for the Americans during the American Revolution.
Did he pronounce it Louis?
That's how I pronounce it. How do you pronounce it? Louis Sazerac.
Is he French?
Louis. Is he French? Yeah.
Yeah, he is French. This was in French. He probably is.
King Louis II.
King Louis.
I'll give y'all each one guess. Who do you think asked this guy to make the cannons?
Christopher Columbus, obviously.
Who, Louis?
Mm-hmm.
Who asked
same him? Era. Yeah.
Who same. Asked him? Who said, hey, can you make us some cannons? I know you're making liquor. Can you make cannons?
Cannons?
Cannons.
Not Christopher Columbus.
Yeah, he was like 230 years old and he always wanted some cannons.
I'm gonna say Napoleon. I don't know
Napoleon. He's in the 18th. Oh my, y'all are your history. Y'all are each off by 200 years in the wrong way.
we never claimed to be historians.
Ben Franklin was like, we're trying to get out of England. You know their That's rule. Of
Hamilton
thumb.
Taught me Can that. Can you Hamilton make us some cannons?
Can you make us some cannons? So the Sazerac family is really big with America. 1781, Bernard Sazerac bought Logis de Forge, which it's like an estate that already had this massive vineyard. So this dude added the name de Forge to his name. And so the Sazerac family now is known as Sazerac de Forge. 1782, he starts churning out Sazerac cognac. Oh, notice I didn't say brandy, did I? He died and his son Lawrence took over the estate.
John, can I ask a question?
You certainly can.
What's the difference in cognac and brandy?
Oh, brother, that was not part of my assignment. All right, so we're in the 1780s, right? And Bernard Sazerac de Fort starts churning out his Sazerac cognac, and his son Laurent takes over. And what we have going on in America right now is it's the 1830s, and Antoine Pechot opens an apothecary in the French Quarter of New Orleans. All right. And he says that he sells the best bitters, peppermint, and alcohol to local coffee houses for use in their drinks. Now, I want to take a little break right here. Because notice I said coffee house, not a bar. And this is something I learned in research. I went down so many rabbit holes. And there's a lot of references to, like, coffee house and people drinking cocktails. I was like, well, why weren't they drinking coffee? So in the 18th century in the United States, that's when they had the rise of the coffee house. But it was a place for gentlemen to have an orderly discussion, intellectual banter, not unlike our podcast, as opposed to the old, like, dingy rum houses and corner dark taverns that were full of, like, seedy patrons and in New Orleans in particular, pirates like Jean Lafitte, you know. So the coffee house is a nice place to sit, have a tonic or a toddy or a smash, what have you. And so that's what's going on here with the coffee houses of New Orleans. You know, it's the gentleman's era.
Buddy, now, you can't fancy up a strip club that much, all right? It's a strip club. Fine, we've all been to New Orleans. Let's move on.
Yes. Every business is a strip club. You just have to ask the correct question.
I mean, Ben Franklin, he was a bit of a tomcat from what I heard.
So, all right, so we've got Antoine Pechot. He's in New Orleans in 1834. We've got the coffee house. 1836, the Merchants Exchange was built in the French Quarter just down the street from Pechot's apothecary. Now, interesting fact about the Merchants Exchange, it was started construction for Napoleon Bonaparte for his exile.
See, Aaron, but, you were right. It was Napoleon. It was one of the cannons all along.
Like 100 years later.
But I bet Christopher Columbus is going to make a reappearance, too.
Yeah, I think so, too. They'll visit his grave. We'll get there. We'll get there.
He's just,
spoiler alert! But yeah, so anyway, they turned it into this market called the Merchant just down the street from the apothecary. And this guy, Sewell Taylor, I'm probably butchering his name, Sewell, Sewell. He came over from Pennsylvania.
What does he sing? He sings like, "Kiss by."
He's an interesting fella, the Sewell guy. I think, you know, I'm just kind of reading between the lines here. This Sewell guy, he sounds kind of like a swindler a little bit.
Swindler?
Yeah, he sounds a little sketchy to me. But he also maybe sounds like he was like a rags to riches kind of guy. And he was maybe trying, like, you know, oh, the 1% owns the Merchants Exchange and they're screwing me over. Screw those guys. I'm going to do my own thing. But I'm going to get to that. All right. So he starts bartending at the Merchants Exchange.
Sean's going to get to a lot of stuff tonight.
He is going to get to so many things.
I went down so many rabbit holes.
Sean, I feel like you have photos on a corkboard with all these red strings between them.
I feel like he's trying to sell us on this murder mystery he just wrote.
Yeah.
I have half of a screenplay written.
Yeah.
Honestly, doing this, I was like, all right, now I understand why Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote Hamilton. Because when you dig into it, there's a lot of stuff. So, like, the history of the Sazerac cocktail, maybe this is my Broadway. I don't know.
We'll, or you could just sell it. You could sell it to Ken Burns at this point. I mean, it's,
what if Ken Burns and Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote a documentary musical together?
The Sazerac Story.
What would it be called? It would be called, like, yeah.
Cannons and Cognac.
Cannons and Cognac. The Sazerac story.
Yeah, and Christopher Columbus.
I cannot believe y'all just gave away my screenplay. So, all right, so it was 1838, Sewell Taylor's bartending. 1 year later, the first ads in the United States appear for the drink Sazerac de Forge a fee from the Sazerac family in France.
Hey, we've heard about them.
Yes! Yes, it's all tying together! Here's why I mentioned this ad for the Sazerac de Forge a fee in Philadelphia. In the United States, many cognacs were advertised as brandies. So this might be another reason why people say that the original Sazerac was made with brandy as opposed to cognac. So,
Sean, can I have a question? Ask a question?
Do you mind? Can't have a question. You cannot ask it, though.
Can I ask you a question?
You can ask a question.
It's not what you think. What's the difference in brandy and cognac?
You son of a gun.
That's a great question.
It's probably the distilled spirit. I don't know.
Or it could just be that, like, the champagne thing. Is it not just the champagne thing? Like, brandy?
No, cognac so, like, is, all right. I really from that region. I really do know. I didn't just Google it. I know. It's off the top of my head.
Just Googled it.
No, I didn't just Google it. I just know.
Brandy's stalling because he is actively Googling it.
100% he's Googling it.
Mm-mm. He's got a laptop in front of him.
If I had to make an educated guess, I would say that brandy is distilled fruit juice, and it can be any kind of fruit juice, while cognac is a specific type of distilled fruit juice with lots of qualifications. And cognac comes from the cognac region of southwestern France and is made with a fruit juice base of white grapes. So, Aaron, you'll really like it because I know from our last episode, you love white grape juice.
Yeah, well, Kate was supposed to cut one of those versions out for sure.
What can I say? It's a lot of work.
So I think it's like brandy can be made from grapes, but like cognac is made from grapes.
So cognac's just the better version.
I think so. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe you like peaches. And you think that distilled peaches are better than distilled grapes. And you want to make your...
I don't.
You don't like peaches?
No, I do, but I don't like peach liqueurs.
Oh, really. Don't tell the presidents of the United States of America.
Well, I love millions of peaches.
Okay. As long as you have them in the millions. Cade?
Just for free.
How's that drink you made, bud?
How did you know I made a drink?
Are you for real?
It's delicious. And you know what? I didn't spray the absinthe in my face this time.
The Jim Carrey style.
So part, I'm just going to let y'all know, part of the Sazerac cocktail, you need to have some sort of anisette. And an anisette is some flavor profile with anise in it. So your absinthe, or in the United States, there was absinthe wasn't allowed. So there was this liqueur called Herb Saint.
You probably only get Herb Saint around the Gulf Coast, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah. And in the French have Pernod or Pernod. I'm not sure if you pronounce the D. I'm not French. You can use any of those. Historically, it was absinthe. Modern New Orleans, it's Herb Saint. Okay. You need a frozen glass. And what you do is you pour in a little bit of the anisette and you spin it. You twirl it around the glass. And you pour out the rest of it. It's just called a wash. You just want to rinse the glass. Or you can be fancy and you can buy an atomizer, fill your atomizer, and just spritz the glass. That's what we have. And that's what Cade failed to use correctly.
He sprayed it around his face.
He sprayed himself in the face like Dumb and Dumber.
He got absinthe maced.
I did. But hey, I did buy an atomizer, and with the
no, you bought seven. Let's be real.
You bought a six pack of atomizers.
So with the rise of essential oils and things like that, you can get these things on the super cheapo.
They're not expensive.
Lots of online retailers, and you can even get like a six pack of them with a funnel and a pipette and all sorts of stuff.
Or listeners, let me tell you, you could just go to your local convenience store. They're like 99 cents. You can just buy one. I have
never seen an atomizer at a convenience store.
It's just like a spritzer. I think they sell them by citrus even, because you can put like people want you to put lemon juice in it.
Hey, they even make one that you can just stick straight into the lemon and
that's true. They do make that.
What?
I can't believe you ordered seven of these things. What are you gonna
do? I've never seen that.
He's gonna have seven. He's gonna have one with herb saint, one with absinthe, one with
pergard. I'm gonna get one of those you can stick into a fruit, and I'm gonna stick it in a watermelon.
It's gonna be the Bubba from Forrest Gump of spritzers.
Sounds like he finished that drink in record time.
I didn't. I still have it.
All right, so I'll bring y'all back. I'll bring y'all back into this. So there's a coffee house inside of the Merchants Exchange that Sewell Taylor is the bartender at. In 1845, he becomes the operator of the coffee house. And it was a 5-year lease. And in 4 years, his lease was up for renewal. And the Merchant Exchange denied him. They said, no, thank you. And here's where I'm kind of reading between the lines. I think Sewell got pissed. So he hooks up with this fella named Aaron Burr.
Sir.
Not the guy that shot Hamilton. That's a lot of Hamilton references for one episode, but it is not the same guy.
I got to tell you, how many people were named Aaron Burr back then? What were there, like 11? Burr,
like Tweety Bird.
Oh, like suburbs.
Aaron Burr.
No, bird, like a bird that flies.
Oh, Aaron Burr.
Aaron Burr.
Burke.
There's a like G the and a K on the end.
Yes, a K.
Yeah. Gook.
So Burke. Sewell sold his business to this guy, Aaron Burr. All right. And Sewell, he opens a liquor importing business. And he begins importing the Sazerac de Forge fee from the Sazerac family in France. So Burr, he opens up next door from the Merchants Exchange, the Sazerac Coffee House. Now, a lot of people think that Sewell was the real financier behind this building, but technically Aaron Burr is listed as the owner, and he gets into an agreement with Antoine Peychaud, the apothecary owner down the street. Boom, right here. Peychaud has been advertising that he's the best cordial maker. You come here, I've got all the best drinks. I've got the best American aromatic bitter cordial. And
he's got a nice bitter.
Yeah, it is delicious. You know, I tried it by itself, and it has a bit of an anise flavor too.
Yeah, it's absolutely anise for sure.
Yeah. So he and the Sazerac Coffee House, they start advertising together that, like, hey, we've got this awesome stuff. We've got this dude, Peychaud. We got this drink, Sazerac de Forge Fee. We're the only people in town mixing it all together with sugar. We got the best. Come to our place. And they became wildly popular. They
were
became
the best.
Super popular. So yeah, so that's where like it all started.
The size of rock and roll. No.
So I pretty much have covered my history. That's it. You know, I can get into some more stuff about the Sazerac House if you'd like to hear about it.
Get out of here.
Hey, who's dry? Y'all want to do the walkthrough?
Let's take a little break real quick, and then we'll come back and we'll walk someone through making a Sazerac. We'll be back in just a moment.
Shut up for a minute.
All right. we got to come back. Are you gonna tune us in, or
I thought this was coming back. I thought this is all staying in. This is all in. We're in now.
We're in now.
We're in the in game now.
So in your coop, I've been using a coop, Sean. I really think that this drink screams for a Nick and Nora. I really think that Nick and Nora is perfect for the Sazerac. So I'm jealous of them. But in whatever glass you want to drink it out of, you want to get that cold, whether you freeze it, whether you throw the ice in it right before, which is what I did, stir the ice around.
Is a whiskey glass okay? Like
sure, 100%, 100%.
Okay. Traditionally, it's a whiskey glass.
Yeah, yeah. I've always had them like out of whiskey glasses mostly for sure. I just like to be fancy these days.
Fancy man.
So then you're gonna. I've been using these Demerara cubes. So I've got my bitters. I like. You know what? I'm gonna switch to Sean's method. I'm gonna add Angostura into my regular Sazerac. I really like it. So I go equal parts Angostura bitters. Peychaud's bitters. So I've been doing
how many shakes?
I'm gonna do 3 shakes of Angostura and 3 shakes of Peychaud's. The Sean method is what I call that because I always just did Peychaud's before, but I like it with the Angostura too, I think. And then like my best friend Kate says, you put a little bit of that rye in there to help it dilute.
Aww.
All right. And then you're gonna put your 2 ounces of rye after you get it all muddled.
What kind of rye are you using?
Sazerac rye, baby.
I am using Bullet.
Ooh. That's a good one, too.
I like Bullet rye.
Mm-hmm. It's a real good rye. I also like Knob Creek rye. It's also very, very
good. In a Sazerac?
Sure. I don't know if I've ever made a Sazerac or Knob Creek rye, but I do buy it for cocktails. So then, once you get all that sugar dissolved, unless you're using Demerara, like simple syrup, that's, you know, pre-dissolved. But anyways, mix it on some ice. I like to use the big ice chunks for mixing. It dilutes slower so you can get it colder. All right. You stir that till the outside of your stirring glass is a bit cold and frosty. You're going to dump out your ice or just get your frozen glass or, you know, whatever. And the key to this, we've been over it once, but if we use my version for the first time, you can spritz your glass with some herb saint or absinthe or that word that Sean keeps saying that sounds like anise. Say it, Sean.
Bernard?
Anesthetic.
Oh, an anisette. Any anisette.
Antiseptic.
Any set that you want.
Any
so then, once you got that herb saint flavor in your glass, you just pour that liquid in there, get the lemon in there. Get all them oils in your cup. And most people, honestly, I think you didn't even go into this, but I think there's like a thing about the lemon peel. You're supposed to just spritz it and rub the rim and throw it away, right?
Yeah, but I was actually going to bring that up. So, yeah, bring it up.
So that's the traditional thing is you get the oils, you squeeze all the oils into your cocktail, rub it around the rim of your drink, throw that lemon away. But I drop mine right in the cocktail because it tastes
good. Yeah, I'm a dropper as well, Aaron.
It's okay to garnish it with it.
Yeah, I think
I'm not gonna say it's okay because I'm not from New Orleans, but I do.
I'm a dropper. I think the people that say don't drop the lemon peel in are wrong. I'm a dropper.
Yeah, you can always improve upon things, and like that just makes it taste better. So, you know,
I don't know if we've talked about this in the podcast before or not, but the once you express the peel, you absolutely have to rub it around.
Oh, for sure.
Outer rim and inner rim, if you're able to, before you drop it in, because those aromas get on the rim of the glass.
And, say rim again.
Yeah, it hits your nose when you drink it, and it really does enhance the experience.
It's so true. I can say I've had some really disgusting Sazeracs, and I was not looking forward to this when we initially started talking about it. And I've had some Sazeracs in New Orleans with you guys, and I've had some real bad ones. I honestly didn't like it, and I'm not a big licorice or absinthe fan.
Oh, me neither.
But I followed Sean's recipe that as we've been researching this over the past couple weeks, researching. But so again, a spritz of absinthe or a rinse of herb saint. Either of those is key. I think when I was having them, I think whoever was making them was actually pouring in the absinthe through the herb.
They're lazy.
And it was overpowering. And
yeah, that's gross.
When this is built the right way, when you spritz the absinthe, when you get the aromatics from the lemon, And when you've got your sugar and your rye mixed well, and you've got the right kind of bitters, I think, again, I might have had just like probably dumps of
just a touch. No, it's just a touch will
but
do.
If you do, I like the Peychaud's and the Angostura balanced together. Mm-hmm. It makes it. Absolutely, like it's a much better drink, and I'm truly enjoying it. I mean, this is my at least my, it's my second one.
I agree with the Angostura thing.
It really is.
Yeah, it's pleasant.
It's balanced for there only being like a single spirit in it. You would expect it to maybe be a little too strong, but when that's you true. Stir it with the ice and dilute a little bit, and then just the mixture with those aromatics. And the sweetener, I don't know. It changes completely, and it's such a great drink. Now, Cade, I think you're maybe basing your opinion on like not nice bars. Now, the Sazerac Bar, that's the name of it, in the Roosevelt Hotel in New Orleans.
I have been there.
I think you're going to tell us a story about one. When you were there.
I don't know if we should tell that story.
Oh, no. I think we need that story. Well, we're past the statute of limitations, I think. You can tell all names in there.
So we were down for Sean's wedding and in New Orleans. And lots of folks there. My wife and I were down there. Aaron was there. I had the great honor, as I mentioned before, being an usher.
Usher.
All of our whole college crew was there.
Rented a suit to be an usher. It was such an honor. It's one of the greatest honors to be in the wedding.
We've been over this. He didn't trust us.
Best man and then usher. So anyway, I'm not bitter about it. Don't worry. So we're there. We've gone through the rehearsal of the wedding, and now we're getting cocktails afterwards. We're at the Sazerac. And our friend and compatriot, Big Sean's there. And you just never know with this guy what he's going to do. And we're all in line. We're getting drinks. We're getting refills. It's probably our second or third one. And he's making small talk with strangers because that's what he does.
Now, Kate, I think it's safe to butt in here and say that my rehearsal dinner that y'all were all at had an open bar.
Yes, it did.
So that was the same night. Yeah, that's true.
This is after.
Yeah, it is. It is a little bit later in the evening. Sean is making small talk with strangers. It's 10 o'clock in the evening, and there's this fella there. And Sean, I think Sean commented. Big Sean commented on the attractiveness of this little guy's partner, and I don't think the guy saw it as a compliment. And I think that the fella he was talking to made some, I don't know, disparaging remarks about Sean's attire and might have even gone into homophobic territory.
He was homophobic.
Big Sean's response, he looked at his hands and he had a drink in one hand and his other hand was open. And he just closed that hand into a fist and just wrecks this guy.
He went full Will Smith on the guy. Him.
Yeah.
And no, I mean, he didn't Will Smith them. This was
closed fist. I mean, it just went from such a peaceful little interaction to an absolute melee. And I grabbed my wife and I said, get him out of here. Take him to the street. And she's incredible. She grabbed him. She's like, get out of here. Follow me. And she books it. She hauled him out of there. I don't know what all went down.
There was a glass broken for sure.
Some glass got broken. And all I know is that when it finally kind of settled down, I just walked up to the bar. I said, I need to close my tab. This place is too rowdy for my taste. Also, I've lost my friend, Sean. I'll need to close his tab as well. He's leaving a $50 tip, by the way. And we got out of there. And then, something with one of those glasses that got broken on the floor.
Mary stepped on it or something.
The bride, my wife.
Yeah.
So, I'm alerted to the hysteria. I'm like over at a seat with my wife, fiance at the time, and her friends, and somebody comes up and they're like, there was a disturbance. Big Sean punched the shit out of somebody, and we gotta get out of here. And I was like, all right, I think we're kind of winding down anyway. So my wife stands up And as we're walking out, all the broken glass, everybody around, she's the one that steps into a shard of broken glass and gets this like gash across her foot.
Like Cinderella.
Yeah. So on the eve of her wedding. Cinderella's. And you know, any of our lady listeners, you know how comfortable wedding shoes are. So that was a pain in the butt the next day, and even a little bit at our honeymoon in the salt water. She had this gash across her foot, but the Roosevelt.
Oh, Hotel, I didn't know you left the bedroom.
salt bomb, you know, bath bombs in the tub. I mean, but no, the staff was great. They like got us band-aids. They're like, do you need to call like anybody?
Where'd you guys go on your honeymoon?
We went to Antigua. Sandals in Antigua.
How long did you stay?
A full week, my friend. It was great.
Nice.
It was great. Every vacation I do after is trying to chase the magic of that honeymoon.
Did you get a suntan?
What kind of questions?
I don't know where these questions are going. Right now, I'll continue to answer them. Yes, I did get a suntan.
That was delightful.
It was delightful.
Oh, jeez. So, are you going to talk more about the Sazerac story?
No. They were really great. They were like, you know, did you see what happened? And I didn't see
the anything. Rest of us. The standers by the way, were just like, we got to get out of here now.
They're like, do you know what happened? I was like, all I know is my wife's foot is cut open. What are y'all gonna do about it?
That's right. I just came here for a Sazerac.
I just remember it was like me, like Denise, Michael, April. We were all just like, what just happened? I think April may have saw it, and she was like, I think Big Sean just knocked some dude out. And we were like, are you for real? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, well,
April has given me the full story.
Yeah, it was right beside me, all of that. It was quite a ruckus, but I'm sure that guy's okay. Yeah. So yeah,
pretty sure his name was Sean de Sazerac.
Yep, Sean de Sazerac, and he's French.
De Forge.
You'll have to extradite him.
That's going to be on the quiz.
If you're still sour about that one.
Sour grapes.
But so regarding the Sazerac, you know, you guys are using the Sazerac rye. I'm using bullet rye for the second one that I'm having. That I actually made one with brandy. And guys, I know nothing about brandy. And maybe it was my third. I don't know. I don't know anything about brandy. I mean, I know as much as Aaron does, who's asking what's the difference between brandy and cognac. I don't know that either, even after the explanation. I heard pears. But I have a little bottle of brandy. It's E&J brandy. I don't know anything. It doesn't seem like a very fancy thing, but
you're drinking the martini and Rossi of brandies.
So that's the thing. When I smelled it, when I tasted it, I was like, I don't like this. But when I put it in a Sazerac, the brandy, I'd say it's as good, if not better, than making it with rye, even with this questionable quality brandy. I think the Sazerac was better with the brandy than it was with the rye.
I'm going to get some brandy. Stat.
I think it's worth trying.
Well, actually, I'm going to get cognac.
You could get cognac.
Yep. I'm going to get cognac. I'm going to do it for real. Hennessy. Is Hennessy cognac?
Hennessy's a cognac.
Ooh. Sean, do you remember that time when it was your birthday?
Maybe.
Do you remember your birthday?
And Brad bought you Chinese bread. Not Chinese bread. Like, I don't know. How long you got to live to be Chinese?
American bread that lives in China.
Chinese just means you're a citizen, right? Like you're a citizen of China.
Can we just say Brad?
Chinese bread.
When we had me and April's birthday party at his apartment.
Yeah, and you drank the whole bottle of Hypnotic.
I remember that.
Gosh.
That Kool-Aid blue stuff.
I loved it. That was my 21st birthday.
Oh, yeah. Well, you were wild that night.
Can I tell you?
Please do.
You know why I picked that? Was because Brad had been drinking it for like the past year. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that looks so cool. When I turn 21, that's what I want to drink. I was like that and whiskey. That's what I want to drink.
Ooh, how is hypnotic and whiskey?
So my 21st birthday, I was like, I'm going to walk around my birthday party, and this bottle of hypnotic is my drink.
What poor choices you made.
On Ben's 21st birthday party, he drank shots of Jaeger mixed with Pepto-Bismol.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next week, he made me drive him to the infirmary on campus because he was pooping and it was solid black poops.
Is that when the nurse stuck her finger up his butt?
And the nurse stuck her finger up his butt.
Yeah.
And she was like, I don't see anything wrong. And he was like, well, I mean, I was taking shots of Jaeger and Pepto-Bismol. And she was like, well, how many? And he goes, I want like a whole bottle of Pepto-Bismol. And she was like, that's why you're pooping black, you idiot.
Aaron,
this is absolutely true. There's no way you could make this up.
It's so true. Like we were part of the group that like introduced incoming students to mm-hmm. the university, mm-hmm. and we had an ambassadors event that same night. We had that same night, and so I asked Ben. I was like, "Hey, man, like you went to the doctor today. Like, how'd it go? Are you feeling better?" And he was like. He was like, I need to confide in you. I was like, what's up? What's up, man? He's like, have you ever had a finger up your butt? I was like, no. And he's like, well, I went to the doctor today. I was like, okay. All right. Okay. But he's like, the nurse, you know, I've been having trouble with my poops, and the nurse stuck her finger up my butt. I was like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm good. I just need to stop drinking Pepto-Bismol.
So, Aaron, were you there at the doctor's office with him?
Well, yeah, I just dropped him off.
Oh, okay. You didn't hold his hand?
No. That's what I was picturing. Yeah.
No.
It's going to be okay, bud. All right, guys, I think we should take a little break right here. And we'll finish these drinks or sip on them and make another one. Who knows? And then we'll come back and see where to go from there.
Sounds okay. Good.
See you in a minute.
Amber.
3, 2, 1.
And we're back. All right, guys. That was a very, very short break. We didn't talk for 20 minutes about all sorts of other stuff.
It's been 28 minutes.
It has been 28 minutes. I don't know where that I went.
I don't know why you guys are listening.
Jesus! Why do you hold attention to that?
This is as much for us as it is for anyone else.
We are not professionals. FYI, we are not professionals.
If anyone's listening to this, we're having more fun than you.
Yeah, we're having fun just with our buds.
I hope that I just helped one dad stay awake on their commute. Right now.
That's right.
Like, if you stayed awake on your commute from listening to this, like, right now, you're pulling into your driveway and you're like, I did. Thank you, hi, dads. Then all of this drinking with my best friends was worth it.
Absolutely.
Otherwise.
Otherwise, it's just pointless drinking with my best friends.
Well, I hope it woke them up from the history lesson we had earlier that didn't, you know, cause a traffic accident.
Quiz, post it on Instagram. Make sure to follow and like.
That's right.
7-car pileup. Hi, Dad's podcast playing on the 83rd minute when the police show up.
He was dead from boredom, unrelated to the car accident.
Supposedly, the history of the Sazerac was so boring. This dude veered off into traffic.
So, speaking of veering off into traffic, I thought it was hilarious that Aaron was afraid of spiders and Sean is afraid of needles and things like that. And I was like, you bunch of wusses. Until I was driving along, listening to podcasts and relaxing and just enjoying a nice drive down the interstate. And I heard this kind of like buzzing noise and I thought maybe it was some static on the radio. And then I saw a little bit of just something at the corner of my eye and it was a bee, just a little bitty honeybee, but it was inside It was inside the vehicle with me, and it was on the passenger window.
No!
And I'm not kidding. I screamed.
That's a needle spider.
A flying needle spider, also known as a bee. And it was terrifying. And I let down all the windows.
I'm not afraid of bees. I think bees are fine, honestly, in my view.
In a car with me, I'm 10 times more terrified when I'm driving 70.
Why? They're not going to get you.
I got stung while I was driving, I panicked. So I let down all the windows. Bees? Probably. Who knows?
You would know. Wait a minute.
I make it a point not to get stung by bees.
You've never been stung by a bee?
It's been a long time. But
you have been stung by bees.
Yes.
I've been stung twice in my life.
So you're not allergic to bees, though.
It wasn't like My Girl. No, that didn't happen.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
How dare you invoke My Girl?
Wow.
I let down all the windows, and of course the harmless little bee flew out. But what I still kind of drove. Bee was it? It was a little bitty honeybee, like a little bitty clover bee or whatever.
How do you know it was a carpenter bee?
It will sting the snart out of you.
It was tiny. It was a tiny bee. I drove with all the windows down.
We are way out.
Driving down the interstate with all the windows down for a solid 15 minutes because I thought, what if there are others? What if it wasn't just one? What if there's a whole hive of bees like in my window or something? Where did that one come from? How did he get there? It terrified me. And I was driving in fear for a solid 20
minutes. That is kind of weird. You had a bee in your car.
It scared me. So I didn't like the bees. When I got home, all three of us were talking about a cocktail called the Bee's Knees.
Oh.
And it's a little bit of a throwback about the segment we were doing of the drinks we make for our wives. And I...
Oh, is this that segment now?
Do-do-do, drinks we make for our wives.
That was great editing.
That was beautiful. So I previously talked about what's called the Union Cocktail, and it's like a Boulevardier with training wheels. And I said, you know what? I bet my wife is going to love this. So I made it for her, and I was so excited, and it failed miserably. But the thing is, when you make a drink for someone else and they don't like it, you can still drink it. That's fine. So I did. But it's helping me funnel down where we're headed. And so I came across the Bee's Knees. We talked about that. And I said, let me do this. But I love gin. And I don't think my wife likes gin as much as I do. So I said, I'm going to use vodka. And I'm already changing the recipe. I'm modifying it. It's not really a Bee's Knees anymore. But I still did the honey. I did vodka, but I did it at a lower proportion. So equal to the honey. I added a bit of elderflower. And then kept the lemon amounts the same. So it's basically equal parts. Lemon, elderflower liquor, Saint Germain.
Love it.
Vodka, and then honey syrup. And shaken, and then served with a lemon garnish. Oops. And the response from my wife was...
My wife.
This is very good.
And so I think...
that's awesome.
I think that's the best response I've ever gotten. Normally it's kind of an upturned nose.
That's about as good
as
you can get.
Yeah, or it tastes like gasoline or kerosene or cough syrup. I've gotten that one. So I'd say that's an improvement. We're getting better.
It's pretty wild the difference of taste buds. How like something we make and we drink it and it tastes so freaking good. And then we let our wives taste a sip, and it's like they just drank gasoline.
They hate it.
I don't get it. I'm like, this is so good. You lost your mind?
I thought that you guys were insane for the Sazeroks until I had one made the right way. And it's really changed it. So if you've had a Sazerok and it wasn't good, make one the right way. Follow some steps. Sean did a great Instagram. I don't do social. But he did a great little video about it, and that's what I use. I follow his video, and it's a perfect Sazerac.
Mm-hmm. It can be very easy to make.
It's an old fashioned with some changes. I mean, but it's those little changes. The lemon and the herb saint or the absinthe rinse or spritz, it elevates it and it makes it a different kind of cocktail. Speaking of that, we did decide what we're going to do on our next episode. What are we going to do, guys?
Manhattan.
Going Manhattan, right, baby?
Yeah.
So it's just a simple, we're gonna simple go drink, and it doesn't have any Manhattan variations at all, right?
Full Manhattan episode. We're going to do what'd some twists on it. But there's will be a surprise.
There's no variations on a Manhattan.
Oh, riff. We're going to riff on it, baby.
There's definitely not.
We're going to all bring a surprise riff.
Are there?
Everybody brings a surprise riff to the Manhattan episode.
I bet there's some riffs on the Manhattan we can do.
Or not.
I think we're planning down the road to have some guests, a guest a very special guest.
You've heard of this guest before.
You'll never be in person. Guess.
We're looking forward to the Manhattan episode. We're going to do some research on them. We're going to learn about them. We're going to make a few of them and some riffs on them. And
I'm not doing the history.
That's fine.
Everyone's fine with that.
No objections. Bye, dads.
Bye, dads. I love you guys.
I love you guys. Aaron's not saying shit.
Aaron.
I can't do it.
Do it. You know you feel better every week after you do that.
I love you. Aaron, I love you. You guys know I love you.
I like to hear it. I like to hear it.
I love you guys.
Love y'all.
See you guys. Bye, dads.